Phantom House. It's the place for podcasts.
I'll be honest, I should have had this uploaded weeks ago. It's not entirely the case that I could have had this done by then. I was suddenly very busy with other work, and every time I had the chance to look at these last two episodes, my heart sank. In this episode, I interview Karina. We wanted to have fun and talk about making 100 episodes of something. I hope you join us for this one, but if the intro is all you're going to get out of this, I just want you all to know that the living room is so special to me. I went through so much in 3 years, I don't think I could have made it through if I didn't have an artist every week to keep things honest. I think interview projects are often committed to preserving a concept of success, but I look to the living room for confirmation that making stuff is hard work and we are not secure, but we can talk about it and try our best to be the kinds of artists we want to see. Being producer on our show is the closest I've felt to being my favorite kind of artist, and I'm committed to chasing that even as this project comes to an end. Hey team. Hi, it's Hannah. Hello. Thank you so much for everything. Now, I hope you get a kick out of me and Karina being good friends into a microphone, because I have questions to ask her about what it takes to make the Living Room podcast, what her ideal conversation sounds like, and deciding when a project has come to its end. Lean in, y'all. This is, at the very least, a fun one.
Just don't ask me any questions that involve
the letter P.
Or B.
You know, they say the best way to fix audio is to record it right in the first place. And to record it right, you have to eliminate consonants from your language.
You're going to shut out the birds?
I'm going to shut out the birds. But I figured we'd get some of this.
Yeah.
Ambience.
Yeah.
Okay, 1 second. 1 minute for room tone. Everyone quiet, please. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good.
Doing all right?
I'm fine. Yeah.
I don't know how convinced I am.
Well, we're back from vacation.
Us two.
Together.
Us together are back from vacation.
So I felt refreshed, but then I was quickly worn down by the week. So yeah, that's how I am.
I'm sorry you were so quickly worn down.
I mean, I knew it was going to happen. I knew in my heart.
It was good, though.
It was so good.
This is our fan review of the vacation we took together.
The farm is so good, Hannah.
Yes, the farm. People love to hear about that, too.
Yeah.
I stayed on the farm. I went to the farm.
And we ate so well. Because of your partner.
Previous guest on this podcast, Mike San Juan,
yes.
Happens to be a very good cook.
You have questions for me.
I do. It's time, I think. We're here because it's the end.
We're here because it's the end.
You cool?
Yeah, I'm good.
I am good. You seem fine.
I am fine.
I'm the one, like, falling apart.
You are. You are.
I put it all together.
Yeah.
It's a weird relationship to have with something, especially when it's weekly. It becomes like a habit. I mean, not that, like, your part of the podcast was also a habit and still, like, time consuming.
It was a different one, though, because I had to, like, go to a place to do the thing, whereas you sit in your office.
Yeah, you would also listen to it later.
Yeah.
Be like, that's the products is a little bit less. I don't know. I don't know that any of that can actually be related to how I feel as opposed to how you feel.
Mm. I mean, I feel like it's done already because my ending was the big performance.
That's true.
So for me, like, okay, that's over now. Whereas for you, you still have to, like,
I have two things to do.
To edit it.
I have
so it's different.
I have to end it. That's kind of, you've handed me like the key.
Yeah.
And I have to be like
lock it up.
I don't know, man. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
We'll be much later.
Likely we don't figure it out in this moment.
Oh no. Definitely not.
But although I'm happy to be recording, I love to do that.
I love to podcast.
Ironically, very little of my experience here has been the podcasting.
Very little of it. The least amount.
But I love to podcast. Mm-hmm.
So what's on the docket?
Everyone knows who we are, but
yes,
we can introduce ourselves anyway.
I'm Karina.
And I'm Hannah.
And this is
What's up, guys? I like the idea of describing ourselves briefly. What's your Twitter bio? Or like in your head right now, what's your Twitter bio? You can literally read it.
My literal.
Or you can elevator pitch yourself to me right now.
My literal Twitter bio is like my job description, production artist at Skyland Entertainment / previous intern at Cartoon Network / like illustrator, animator, designer.
I'm bored.
/ sad sentient pencil.
There's the flavor. Hannah Mraz, fulfilling my dream of doing stuff that looks cool. Hire me. I played a show where they asked me to give fun facts so we can introduce you.
You have a list of fun facts about me?
No, about me.
Oh, damn. I was hoping.
You want to come up with one for yourself?
I need to hear yours first before I get anywhere.
Imagine the bullet points. Vintage internet kid. Long Beach native. Too busy to hang out ever. Oh, ask me about study abroad.
That's a good one.
Ask me about Europe.
Ask me about Europe.
It's just so much better there. You just do it so well.
I think too busy to hang out would apply to me also. Cameron told me today, do you have anyone you're going to hang out with today aside from Hannah? I was like, no. He's like, oh, you're going to make plans? And I was like, no. He's like, do you have people you want to see? I'm like, yeah, but they have to reach out to me.
And there you have it. Now everyone knows. You gotta text her.
You gotta text me with a week's notice.
She's like tired. She's not like shaking anybody to go to Not Scary Farm or whatever the fuck you guys do. Join us! What? Yeah. In socializing? Never. No dice.
Never.
I'm nervous to do an interview. I realize that you're the professional and not me.
Yeah.
Because I sit by myself for a job most of the time now. Although talking for content is not something I'm horribly unfamiliar with.
So but
I'm
it's
embarrassed,
different.
Quite frankly.
No!
Let's get to the root of it.
Yeah.
Why a podcast? But like in that voice.
Why a podcast or why this podcast?
Why a podcast? Because I know you're a podcast enthusiast. Mm-hmm. And that might be the answer in itself. But this isn't like, especially at the time, I'm still in school doing art 24/7. But mm-hmm. It doesn't line up with what maybe someone thought you would do, mm-hmm. or like the kind of work someone thought you would get into. Mm-hmm. And maybe your answer from then is different than the answer would be now. But like, what drew you to the idea of doing a podcast? And if the answer includes what drew you to doing this podcast in particular, that's cool too.
I mean, if the question is why a podcast, you're right that the answer is that I'm a podcast enthusiast, which is a hilarious thing to say in the year 2018.
a connoisseur
of podcasts, you might say. when they ask me, do you listen to podcasts? I take out my app and there's like 36 of them. And I'm like, what flavor are you interested
in? Do I listen to podcasts?
Yeah. But if the question is more why a podcast in view of like the type of stuff I make, I think it's like someone asked me to do it and I was down. And that's the shortest way to answer that question. But the longer way would be, I like making things with my friends. And this is one of those mediums that has one of the lowest barriers of entry, which is a very like podcaster thing to say. Like that's what they say at the conventions and the articles. But it is true that's like you just need to have a microphone and someone who knows how to record a thing.
Yeah.
Which are both skill. Well, one's just like you need to have enough money to buy something, which
yeah.
you can do. And the other one is just like, have I watched enough YouTube videos to be like, not fuck up a recording?
Yeah. Like, as far as...
Because like, I feel, for me, like becoming a YouTube person is a lot harder.
Right.
Just because I feel that like you have to learn how to edit in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is a little more complex.
It is.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before. We went to PodCon and listened to a lot of podcasters tell us that it was the medium with the lowest barrier of entry, mm-hmm. and all you need is a microphone and your friends and a good idea. Which I say mockingly because we hear it over and over, not necessarily because it's not true. But
it's not untrue. It's also loaded.
That's a loaded way to put it. And I do want to talk a little more about that. But the irony isn't lost on me that when I was a teenager, that's exactly what they were saying at the video convention is all you need is your webcam. All you need is your webcam. That's like what they told us over and over.
Absolutely.
And like these are different things that we're doing, and who knows if that's indicative of our podcasting trajectory. However,
I mean,
it's different.
The other thing with podcasting as opposed to like video is that it's a non-visual medium.
Yeah.
So like then you even get the additional people who wouldn't want like their faces on a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like the door is a little bit wider because it's like, oh, there's none of that like social anxiety of having to look good.
Yeah. There's definitely a space they occupy that's very different from the video time.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And like, I don't know. I'm a multidisciplinary person.
Yeah.
So it's...
Yeah, I realized the question I asked you is like, why don't you do just the one thing?
Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah. And I've never been that type of person because I don't obsess. I am the opposite of that type of creator. I like putting my hands in all of the pies.
Oh, yeah. That's good fun.
Which has different types of problems.
It does.
But yeah. So I think it's hard to pick. That question ultimately becomes like, why do you like doing a bunch of different types of things as opposed to just like focusing in on the one thing and honing your craft onto the one thing? And it's like, because I can't.
Because I can't.
I get bored.
I prefer to be well-rounded.
Yeah.
I think having your hand in a lot of different projects, they all feed into each other. Mm-hmm. The skills feed into all the fields you get involved with. I know what the problems are, but I still couldn't recommend it enough. Get a hobby. Yeah, that's all. I wanted to go back to what we were saying about like podcasting versus video or whatever.
Yeah.
Were you talking about that because like you felt like podcasting was a more accessible thing to you?
Yeah.
Than
I would never
else you
do
could have done I don't, randomly with
I don't
your
think yeah I don't think I'd ever be a performer per se in a video project,
right?
Whereas on this podcast I am the performer.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I also think part of that is that I am only able to be myself in any media.
Oh, yeah.
Hannah knows this, but I can't, like, pretend to be somebody else.
And this segment's called Impressions.
No!
Do your Christopher Walken!
No! But yeah, like, I can't act. So, I would never attempt to do, like, that sort of... Like, I would never try and be a performer for a medium that required me to be someone else. So, like, I'll never do the type of podcast where it's, like, a radio play.
Right.
I'd only be like, it's Karina, as Karina.
Yeah, and then I say why this podcast, but what I mean by that is why a music-centered podcast as opposed to, honestly, anything else you're deeply interested
in.
Yes,
yes, yes.
Because as we said, you have your finger in a lot of pies. Since you are such a good conversationalist, you could You're welcome. But you could dive deep into a lot of different subjects that you are interested in. So why was it music?
Yeah. I sometimes think about how maybe I'd be further in my career if I had done a podcast about art or comics or something like that, which is very funny to me. But I like music.
Mm-hmm. And I like to say the least, Karina, host of the Living Room podcast. Yeah, I like music.
Yeah. And when I started this podcast, I also liked music. I like it more now.
Yeah.
I liked it then. And this whole thing has been a growing podcast of Karina learning how to like music.
Right.
Because when I started this podcast, I was at a point where it's like, oh, I understand music better. And I know people who like music and I know other bands and stuff like that. And had a deeper experience with music as opposed to when I first started college and I had never been to a show before. I'd never seen live music. I didn't really get what live music was. Mm-hmm. And, like, my iTunes library was, like, sad. Because I didn't...
Because it was an iTunes library?
I mean, yeah. But also...
By virtue of the fact that it was iTunes, it was like, please kill me. Let me go.
But also, like, it just was very small. Because I didn't listen to things the way I listen to things now.
Yeah.
Before college, I was very much a songs person, and now I'm an albums person. Because I care more about the creative package versus just the, like, thing that I thought sounded cool
mm-hmm.
on the radio or on the music app of choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember when I was early on in college, my roommate Jenny and then my friend Daniel Spear looked at my iTunes library when I had went to the restroom. And then they're like, this sucks. And I'm like, I don't know. I never said I liked music.
I don't know what you guys thought about me.
And now it's different.
That's just such a loaded thing to say in this context. Now it's a little different.
It is.
Like 100 episodes of content.
100 episodes and 5 years later.
Yeah.
Multiple band posters later. Many shows later. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a whole journey.
It's a whole journey. Music podcast because my friend asked me to do it. And I said, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll defend your choice to interview people about an art that you're not involved in.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's exceptionally valuable.
I do too. I really do. I think being an interviewer as an outsider looking in is really useful because for the most part, the audience is also that.
Yeah. You know, every teacher ever has told you, ask the questions you have because someone else in the room has that question.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like your whole role in the project.
Mm-hmm. And I like interviews. I just like good interviews. Yeah. Since stopping the podcast, I'm like, huh, I kind of miss that. But I can't maintain it the same way I did. But I do like talking to strangers about the things they make.
I'm sure you'll have plenty of opportunities.
It'll come
to
back.
Do that.
Don't worry. See me in 7 years.
All right. I'm getting out my calendar. 7 years. Find Karina.
She's on the top
of a mountain interviewing the sky.
That'd be cool. There's this podcast where it's just interviews with inanimate objects, and it's really good. I think it's called Everything is Alive. It's on Radiotopia. They don't need this plug. But it's really good.
I love that.
They have like over 10,000 listeners. They're doing fine.
They're good. I also think the communication between the two art forms made the interviews better.
It's useful. I think it's useful to compare art forms because there's things that are different but things that are the same. And it's interesting to look through those lenses of similarity and difference because I like knowing how people's brains work differently to fix the same problem.
Yeah.
Because that's what it always seemed to be happening. Like, someone would be like, I need to express that the world is bad. How do I do that?
How do I do that?
And in what ways do I do that?
Yeah. When I think of the alternate universe in which you made your visual art podcast, doesn't need to be alternate. That could be the future. We don't. It's entirely uncertain. Lots of opportunity for it to become insidery or jargony. And maybe it would have, like, propelled your career in ways that we can literally never know about. Because we didn't do that one.
We didn't do it. But jargon's good, though. I don't know.
Oh, jargon's fine.
You just have to make sure you don't... Like, it really relies on the host to be a good host at that point.
Yeah. And like, welcome to my house.
Yeah.
Be involved.
Yeah.
Even if we're going to use words, how about you learn the words? Man, you would have done that good too. Never mind.
I would have. This podcast was me trying to investigate people who I didn't know. I think that was also part of it, was that I would have felt at that time when I was, how old am I now? 24. When we started this podcast, I was 21, and I was a lot less confident in who I was as a person and, like, how I would have related to, like, the artistic community. Like, I would have felt like the young kid who's, like, trying to, like, glom on to, like, these people who I like and respect, and, like, I would be bothering them.
Yeah.
Whereas if I did it with the music community, which I have a different relationship to.
Yeah.
Like, I never felt like I was trying to take anything from anybody.
Right.
And so it just felt more comfortable because I never had this barrier of they're giving me their time and, like, I'm the one that's, like, taking up their time.
Yeah.
And, like, it never felt like that. Whereas I feel if I had done it with the visual art community at that time, I would have been less confident in those conversations.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it was an exchange of time.
Yeah.
Instead of, please talk to me.
Yeah, yes.
Which is great.
Because I felt like in the music community, I owed no one anything.
Yeah.
And they owed me nothing.
Yeah.
And it was just a conversation between strangers.
Level.
Yeah.
To be on.
And now at 24, I know how to, like, talk to people within my own industry like a human being and not be a weirdo.
Yeah.
Because that's what this podcast taught me, was like how to talk to strangers and be respectful and ask good questions without, like, being weird and bad and too personal. And, like, we would get personal on this podcast, but it was like an understanding of, like, me couching that question, me leading up to that question.
Yeah.
As opposed to just being like, why are you have problems with your parents? Or, like, what's going on there?
Yeah, you never ambush people with
ambushing
the issues. It's beautiful. Speaking of your group O questions.
Yes.
You have a lot of recurring ones, and I want to just list them here. And we'll talk about it. Hold on. You tell me if I missed one.
I don't know.
These are your questions.
Should have brought my notepad.
When did you start playing music?
Yes.
When did you people start playing together?
Yes.
How does this band write a song? Mm-hmm. What is the procedure? What is your favorite song to play? And what are your best show and weirdest show experiences?
Mm-hmm.
And those are all sprinkled. There's kind of a beginning, middle, and end there. It's not like you start with all the recurring ones and then just let it go.
Yeah.
They're anchor points throughout the whole thing. Given that, wanted to ask how these questions were meant to frame what I assume is your ideal conversation with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I figured you must have come up with them for a reason, however big or small.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of that format was based on other podcasts I listened to and what I liked about them. Primarily, You Made It Weird with Pete Holmes. And actually, originally, Guys with Pencils, which was like the first podcast I listened to.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, no, like the second or third podcast I listened to, because You Made It Weird was the first one I listened to. And that podcast was one about that was about animation. And it kind of like made me believe that I could have a career in animation, which is pretty crazy. It made it sound possible, which is wild. Like, I didn't know until I, like, listened to that podcast for a year. And I was like, okay, I'll pick this.
Pretty that's good.
Isn't that weird?
When did you start listening to that?
Like, 2013. It was 2013.
So, like, beginning of time.
Yeah, it was 2013. I was in my first year of college.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I wanted to be in entertainment arts, and I didn't know if I wanted to do illustration or animation. And that mm-hmm. podcast helped me decide.
Great.
Which is pretty wild. And it was basically because the way they described it, I'm like, oh, this one, you can have a career. Look at all these different job titles you can have. And
there's a whole web.
There's a web of job titles. Yeah. And also, like, collaborative work is something I'm more interested in than solo work.
Yes.
And that's more inherent to that medium.
Great.
Even though everything is kind of mixed up in its own. Like, illustration and animation are very intertwined. But animation specifically is about collab.
Mm-hmm.
What was the question? Format.
Yeah. Why did you... How would you say these questions framed what you wanted out of a conversation?
Yeah, so I listened to those podcasts, and what they all had in common was that there was intro, middle part, outro kind of questions.
Yeah.
And I thought that always worked really well, especially with people the host doesn't know. Because I would listen to these podcasts, and like a conversation with a stranger was always very different from like one they had with their friend from a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And with me, once we got outside of the first couple interviews, which were with, like, bands I knew and musicians I knew, it would be conversation with strangers. And so you had to, like, basically gain trust in the first 15 minutes. And then once the trust is established, you can ask deeper questions. And so, like, the intro questions being, like, how did you meet? Where are you from? When did you start playing? Why did you start playing? Who were you listening to that really influenced the way you began playing and later have affected the way you play now? Because that's all connected and all that stuff. And then through that, you hopefully build rapport. And they're like, oh, they're not trying to scare me somehow. And then they trust you enough, you know, ask questions that are more specific to the person. And that usually is like a leading question with like, how do you write your music? And then you can get specific with like, do you use this metaphor? Why is it about this place? What's this about?
What's this about?
You say, what's this about, but you ask it specifically.
Or not.
Or not.
Hey, what's that about?
Sometimes you can, yeah, and then based on your conversation, you can read whether or not that sort of question will work.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you can get away with, like, what's this album about?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you have to be like, why did you use this simile about a rutabaga in the garden? Is this about love?
Thank you for saying rutabaga into the microphone.
It's a good
can
word.
Can you do it again?
Rutabaga.
Thank you.
Yeah, and so then you get there into the good space, and then they play a song, and then you leave the space with, like, your outro questions, which can be, like, the best of, essentially.
Right.
Like your favorite this, your favorite that. And I also learned that the worst questions are always your favorite this, your favorite that.
Mm, yeah.
No one likes getting asked them, which is why you have to leave them for the end.
Yeah.
Because otherwise people will be unhappy. But if they trust you and you're like, look, I'm not trying to scare you, but I know you have this. And you always have to couch the favorite question, the favorite thing, because you have to ask it the right way.
Yeah, you don't word it favorite. You just, or no, you do it with the song. Yeah.
I would, but then you always have to be like, maybe it's the most recent one. Maybe, like, you have to give them, like, sort of answers that are common.
Yeah.
Because whenever you ask anyone what's your favorite anything, everyone's mind goes blank. And that speaks to me, too. Like, if you ask me my favorite anything, I'm like,
Choose the one that wins.
Yeah.
And burn everything else.
So
it's a weird amount of pressure.
And, like, the only one that would work always was, like, the best show, worst show. Because if you're in a band, there's, like, four people. And that's enough people for someone to think of something. Mm-hmm. That's also why the, like, my favorite whatever question would always work better with that. Because at least there was, like, a group of people to fall back on.
Yeah.
So it never felt like one person having to, like, think about it for a second. But the best show and worst show would always work better because it felt more just, like, a memory of a thing you experienced. Mm-hmm. Versus, like, an object that you had to hold up into the light and put on a pedestal and so people could look at it.
Yeah, and what would you say if there's a perfect conversation start to finish? What's your success rate in our 100 episodes?
Like, I don't know about my success rate, but I know my favorite one.
I know your favorite one. We can talk about that in a minute. I super want to know. Like, you don't have to be like, it was 70%. Like, you can just be like, was it most of the time?
It's,
or did they all go
the
a different direction than you expected? Or
it was most of the time. I'd say 60% of the time they were good conversations. Mm-hmm. And then I'd say, like, on top of that, like, 60, like, the next, like, 30% was, like, great ones.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, the remaining maybe didn't get there. Yeah.
It just happened.
Yeah.
And I want to be clear, that doesn't, like, make those episodes less value to me. I have listened to every single one.
I've lived every single one.
I still, even if there are episodes where we're like, okay, we didn't get to perfect 100th percentile space, whatever.
I mean, even then.
Still learned. I learned.
Even, I'm curious your perspective, because, like, even, like, for me, there would be conversations where, like, oh, I feel like I didn't get there with that person, but then on the listen back, it still sounds good, like, you wouldn't know. So that were, like, remaining 10% where I'm like, I don't think we got there, so 10%, like, that's, like, 10 interviews.
Sure.
I think maybe that is kind of accurate.
Yeah.
It's, like, most of those still sound like a good interview, what I would categorize as the other, like, 60%. And so maybe there's, like, one or two of those that, like, even then you could have told.
Yeah.
But for the most part, like, the listener doesn't know that I, like, didn't feel the energy.
Yeah, the room is very different than when you're listening back in your car.
And I want to quantify that the difference between good and great is mostly just, like, did I feel like in that moment I was friends with the person?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, even if, like, outside of that and we haven't seen each other since, in that moment where we, like, together in the space and, like, living a world where, like, we could hang out.
Yeah. Like, when you...
And that's the difference between good and great. Good was just, like, oh, we were, like, both... This is a good conversation. We're both professionals and we're, like, doing a good job here. Whereas great would be, like... This is a friendship in the making.
Yeah, we've talked about that between us a bunch where you're like, there's so many people who come through who will just never be friends on the outside.
Yeah.
And that was always okay. But you're like, man, there are all these people go out there into the world.
Yeah, they
released.
Go. Cash and release.
Which is beautiful in its own way. I'm so glad that came to talk. But that is a weird relationship to have with people over and over weekly. You're like,
it is weird.
How will this be? Anyway.
Yeah, so pretty good. Pretty good ratio.
Pretty fucking good. We did fine. So you've had 100, near 100 conversations with different people, give or take a few. But what are you most interested in knowing about a musician?
Yeah.
We're talking for content, but you're also a person who wants to know things.
I do like to know things.
What did you personally want to find out from musicians?
The best way it could have gone every time was they tell me about their album or whatever, and they tell me specifically like why they wrote that song or that album. And when I say why, I mean more like the song was about, or the album was about, like them moving to a new city and how they like experienced this very specific type of grief that we don't really talk about, because we only talk about grief in very specific ways. And they're like, we don't talk about loss of home and how that's a whole thing. And and that's something people don't really address in our society, but it's something that is a lived experience. And like, maybe we got to like that place in that conversation about like their parents or their religion or their love life and relationships and the things that make them sad. And like, very specifically, that's the stuff I wanted to know.
You very outwardly get frustrated on the podcast with people who are just like, I don't know, whatever you want to interpret it as. And you're like, no, tell me about your trauma. But yeah, not that way,
but yes. But yeah, like this, if you listen to the whole thing, I have become less and less accepting of that answer.
Yeah, it just is downhill from episode one.
Because like at the beginning, I like kind of believe that, and like there is truth to it, but also like, no, you wrote this for a reason. Please tell me the reason.
Yeah. I mean, it also speaks to the different ways people make music. I think.
Yes.
I think people make art and don't. They don't want to talk because they don't want their experience to actually be the face of the work. And I totally understand
that. I get it.
Also, some people just don't want to answer a question.
Yes. Also that.
And so I don't get that one.
And so I'd have to be like, okay, but you said here in this line, this thing. Mm-hmm. And that's always the way to get someone to answer a question, is if you get specific enough, they'll be like, oh, okay, like, yeah, here's what this is about.
Yeah.
And that's my interview technique. Get specific, because it forces people to also get specific. And that's why best of questions don't work.
Yeah.
So that's what I always wanted to know, was like, why did you do this? Specifically tell me, please.
I'm not ignoring you.
It's okay. You got people to talk to. That aren't me.
Podcasting. You ever just start texting in the middle of someone's answer?
No.
Karina is a fucking professional and would never do this.
The only time I always felt bad about looking at my phone during an interview, but it was always because I'd have to check the time.
Let's talk about our team. We have one.
We have one.
And just like in a similar fashion to the how did your band form question, I wanted to ask how our team was formed. Yeah. Just because I want people to know how teams are formed.
Accidentally.
Yeah, just everyone, like atoms bumping into each other and then they create an organism. That's so fucked up.
It's true, though. Our team.
We have a core and we have floaters. We've had like a lot of people give a little bit of their time to us, and it's been very heartwarming, honestly, just to have people who are like, yes. So from the beginning.
From the beginning. Yeah, I was in college. I was hanging out with the band Leather Tramp.
Yeah.
At the Leather House. And then Lucas Cathy from that band asked me if I wanted to do a podcast. And I was like, yeah, tell me more. And we talked about it later. Yeah, I like went to his apartment and we talked about how he wanted to do a music interview podcast, but he wanted someone else to host because he didn't like his own voice, and he trusted me. I think it's because he was butting up against this thing because his band was part of the indie music scene, and that's not like the scene he came up in. He came in like the more punk music scene or emo music scene or whatever. I think he was like trying to like get into that zone, but his current spheres were not there. But mine were. So it worked out. And then we did it. And then we did it for like 3 months. And then we needed help. And then I came to Hannah and was like, would you want to do this?
Hannah edits.
And then
she's a YouTube kid.
Yes. And then Hannah said yes.
Yeah, because I'll do anything.
At the time, you would have said yes to anything.
At the time, I would have said yes to anything. I feel like now, I might still. I think I have no restraint. And I really do just want to be, like, someone wants me to be in their project. I want to go do it.
Yeah.
That's just always exciting to me. Sometimes to my detriment, but yeah.
And
hell
for,
yeah.
And for you, I think you listened to like an episode or two. You were on it. You listened to your episode.
Yeah, I was on it. I was listening to episodes. I wasn't like a big podcast listener at the time.
Yeah.
I was very interested in podcasts. Yeah, it's just a new thing. Just a new thing to tackle. And like when I'm not like getting paid full time for like just through freelance work or whatever, I usually take projects based on how much I will learn from them. Because I think that's like also a very valuable thing that I can get out of them. And then I just had no idea what how this in particular would be a part of my life.
Isn't that crazy?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, so then Hannah jumped on board.
Yes.
We did it
enthusiastically.
We did it for a couple more months. Then we went to Utah together.
Yeah, I was recording at the time.
Mm-hmm. And Lucas told me he couldn't do it anymore. So I messaged Matt Sturgis, who was at the time in the band Hillary Chilton and recording with Jeremy at the Palisades. And they said yes. And they also said yes because they, at the time they were saying yes to everything.
Caught everyone in a beautiful moment, it sounds like.
Honestly, so lucky they said yes.
Oh, yeah, they...
I've said it multiple times.
If they are everything.
If they hadn't done it, it would not have happened.
Yeah.
You can't... And they, I also am, like, struck by... I feel like they said yes to a lot of projects at the time that they were just like, yeah, we'll just do this. And it'll be, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, they were saying yes to, like, this big project that was both really good and also time-intensive. Mm-hmm. So I think they were doing at the time just a lot of like smaller stuff that was like whatever, like floating in the wind, projects would come and go, and it was never like long term. So I think this was like a big project for them to say yes to, and I'm very grateful they did. But I also don't think they knew at the time what they were saying yes to. But then they talk about how like one of the early podcasts like just blew them away, and they're like, oh, this is like a cool thing someone's doing, as opposed to just like a thing you're doing as a favor to your friend. I'm like, okay, great.
Yeah.
I'm glad you think that.
Yeah, I don't want to speak for them what they got out of it or what they learned, but it always looked to me like a wonderful recording exercise for a couple of people who want to record bands. And I'm just saying that from my perspective. Like, if I was in their shoes, I'd be like, just a new challenge.
Yeah, every
week or whatever.
Every time, I'm just like, here, solve a new set of problems.
Yeah, which is all recording, and it sucks. But at least when you're exposed to how many stupid problems can come up, it's less terrifying the next time.
Yeah, it was because it's just different every time. Like, different amounts of people, different instruments. I mean, not always different. Like, you would always have, like, they need a drum and a bass and a guitar and vocal mics for everybody, but sometimes you'd have like weird instruments where like we need to figure out how to make this Game Boy make sound in the room
and also get recorded direct.
Yeah. And then I was like, I can't do social media anymore. I kept doing it anyway, but for a while we had Jalen help.
Thank you, Jalen.
We had
Chris Taniguchi. Thank you, Chris.
They did both help.
Yeah.
At one time.
Yeah, or Nick was helping. So the Taniguchi bros.
The Taniguchi bros.
The Playgrounders, also on an episode of our podcast. Just beautiful, wonderful supporters of the endeavor.
Good supporters.
And, you know, the circumstances of their own lives and work made it so that, you know, they couldn't dedicate as much time remote.
Nearly as much time.
As it ends up, like, especially social media, it, like, always requires more time than you expect or want it to. It's not fun. But, like I said, the fact that they said yes is beautiful. It's just beautiful and wonderful that all these people were like, you need help? Yes. That's so cool.
Listen to The Crush Hour, a podcast that I'm not sure is still happening.
It is. It is still happening. Do listen to it. Nick just records when he has the time. It's not,
yeah,
it's not your weekly listen.
Nope.
It's just when it happens, it's a beautiful happening and it's there in your life. Anyway, we could plug so many people if we went down that road.
Yeah, and that was, and then basically that was the team.
Yeah, that's been the core of
that was the core. Once we got the Palisades in on it, that was the core. And then James Goldman from Struck Out would help fairly often.
Yeah. Also for recording. Wonderful for just saying yes.
For recording when we couldn't record in Upland.
Yeah.
So shout out to James. Super helpful also. Super giving with your time.
Yeah. Like, I want to stress that we did not pay anyone.
We didn't pay anyone.
We just asked. Oh, we just begged.
Sucks.
I know. But, like, everyone just gave their time to it, and I think it's because they're people who thought the project was cool.
Yeah.
If we had the ability, of course we would have paid people.
It was because, like, I was in college. I didn't have any money. I still don't have a lot of money, but I have enough money to pay someone for some things now.
Mm-hmm. I think paying people is so important, but, like, sometimes you just do it. Because
if it's worth it for you,
I say that very carefully. No, 100%. Like,
don't do it if you feel you have to. Do it because you will get something.
Don't
from
be like
it.
This is the only. I have to do all this free stuff, or I'll never get paid. Stuff that's not necessarily
not
true.
That's
not what I'm saying. But I am saying that sometimes we just do stuff.
Yeah,
sometimes we just do, and it happens, and people just give their time, and it happens, and you're like, the fuck? Why? Like when I was saying earlier that I like to take projects I know I can learn from. That's not like the most sound practice ever, but that's what some things are worth to me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I can only hope that at least everyone learned a little something by giving their time to this beautiful little project. Like, thank you forever. We'll never be able to like make that up to you. I feel like we already answered this. I was going to say, how does the podcast get made? Records it, they send it to me.
I want the official knowledge to be that each episode takes, just from me, from Karina alone, takes 8 hours of work.
Yeah. Like weekly, would you say? Each episode. So
I'd say an episode takes 8 hours of work from Karina Taylor.
Yes.
And that's not everyone else.
No, that's about... I wish we had... the answer specifically from
the boys
because they about halfway through the project started mixing all of the music for me so that I would just have to worry about the interview part. So I don't know how long that would take on their end, but I imagine some hours there. And then for me in the beginning it was taking me way too much time. Just like two evenings worth of work. So like 8 to 12 hours of editing. But like in that time, I went to school for audio engineering for a semester and like learned a thing and like applied a lot of just like basic ass techniques that I learned to editing. And I narrowed it down to like one evening's worth of work tops. So like 4 to 6 hours of editing, which is great, but still some hours, right?
Yeah.
And that's just me.
Yeah. And when I say 8 hours from Karina Taylor, that would include like looking up the band, going on to the old Facebook event page and seeing who's playing with who. Cause there was a certain point where you just have to find new bands.
Yeah.
And that was just like, do your research into your local scene. And a lot of it is just like, look at event flyers. Honestly, the easiest way to find out about different bands.
Yeah.
Truly.
Here's a bunch of names.
Here's a bunch of names of bands that like play together. And they play together for either they are friends or they sound similar. Yeah. And that's always a good way to start. And then you contact the band. That takes any amount of time. You track them down via email or various social media messengers. Or however else, and then you're in contact, you put down a time that works for all 12 people.
You You assemble a small classroom.
Yeah, you assemble a small classroom and make sure they all can be in one place on this time of day.
In a place that is far away from all of us.
So far away. And then I drive to that. No. First, I research that band afterward. I'll do some research, read interviews they've done before, look at their social media for things they like and talk about, who they hang out with, listen to all of their music. Not all of it, sometimes, if they have a lot, maybe just the most recent thing they've done. Read all the lyrics. Then from all that, write down my questions. And then I drive to the recording, which would take an hour. Drive home from the recording. The recording takes like 2 hours per session.
So sometimes a whole day of recording if you have more than one session.
Yes. And then I would go home and then it wasn't in my hands anymore.
Then it was mine.
And then it was Hannah's. And then after it was not Hannah's, then I would do the social at the end. At the end, I would do the social.
Yeah.
So that's 8 hours.
Yeah.
More time than you think.
Yeah. And my side of it gets jargony and no one cares about it. Just look up how to mix a podcast tutorial. Yeah. And that's pretty much what I do. You know? Just what everyone kind of says all together in chorus is also what I do.
Yeah. And for me, like, the hours that were, like, were the best hours were the 2 hour sessions.
Yeah.
That's what made it all worth it. But everything else was just, like, a lot. And that's all that unexpected time that added up in the end. Mm-hmm. That I was like, oh, I'm tired. Why am I so tired?
Yeah. And I want to add that we had access to a lot of equipment through the Palisades.
Oh, yeah.
And just because I happen to be a person who records stuff out of her bedroom, I also have these mics that we talk into sometimes.
Yeah, the great fortune of doing a music podcast is that usually the musicians have all this audio equipment, which required nothing from me.
Yeah.
I had to learn nothing about audio to make this podcast happen. Whereas a lot of other podcasts, the hosts will learn quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I learned not that much. I learned some things.
Yeah, by osmosis.
Through osmosis. Just
being in the room and breathing the air.
Yeah, I learned how to be around a microphone.
Yeah, just to avoid it. Stop hitting it.
Don't hit it.
Don't hit it. But yeah, that is a lot of stuff that, going back to what we said about how the general advice is like, all you need is a microphone.
Yeah.
We needed like 2,000 microphones.
We needed,
and we had them, and we used them. Yeah. And that's not something that, like we were in a unique position to record full bands that I think a lot of people recording musicians would not be able to do. And I'm not saying don't with your one mic, but I don't know. I would hate for someone to be like, it doesn't sound like, and it's like, yeah, it doesn't sound like you have 2,000 microphones because you have one. And that's how a lot of podcasts get started.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a lot.
We had a lot.
We were so lucky to have a lot of people and a lot of equipment.
We had a lot of equipment and we had 3 skilled professionals.
Yeah. Who were just like, yeah, we'll do it.
Yeah. And me. So yeah, that's how the box lunch is made.
Did you mention what the hardest part of making the podcast has been for you?
The hardest part? No, we haven't, but...
I didn't know. I couldn't remember if you mentioned that more specifically.
What do you mean hardest?
Like...
What? When you say hard, do you mean like...
What's the most stressful?
Stressful? The most stressful was like...
Because like, we're talking about how we did this all for free.
Yes.
Passion project doesn't mean it's not stressful.
The most stressful part was the scheduling.
Yes.
That was the thing.
Assembling a small classroom. It was hard.
That was the thing that broke the podcast.
Over and over. People are just like, nah.
Like, to get real, get, like, maybe more revealing than I should.
Sure.
The whale that got away was not getting Jeff Rosenstock, and that was because of scheduling.
Yeah. We were in scheduling talks with people we were really excited about talking to.
There was so
and
many
they
times.
Just slipped through.
There was many times, like, more often than not, people want to do it because it's like a fun thing to have to do an interview.
Yeah.
And if like most people wouldn't listen to the podcast before, but if they had, they were like enthusiastic about it because they realized like I wasn't just like doing an interview from like Pitchfork. Not Pitchfork. Pitchfork has good interviews.
Are we taking shots now? This section is shots.
This is shots fired. Bah, 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 bah. But I wasn't doing like an interview. Who has some consequence of sound interviews? Are just like a list of questions, yeah. Which is like, as Lucas had told me at the beginning, are kind of the worst because yeah. It doesn't feel like a real anything. Like sometimes you want those list of questions because like it's easier to like command F find a thing that you were wondering about, but it rarely gets to anywhere genuine, which is like the stuff that I was interested in.
Yeah, it's like every BuzzFeed asks the Fab Five something
yes.
video.
And that's what most interviews are.
Where they cut out the interviewer and they're just like, question, thing they said.
Yes. And that's a lot of that just because like people don't have time, and I get it. That's a limitation of like also scheduling. They only have time for a 10-minute interview.
Yeah.
Whatever. But I think people, if they found out that this was like something that was real and genuine, were excited about it. And so whenever people would like get to the part with scheduling, that was usually the only limitation.
Definitely the most stressful.
Because it was always like, whenever you talk to an artist, like artists want to talk to other artists about craft.
Yeah.
That's just a reality. And it's always like a manager who unfortunately is doing their job and is weighing whether something is worth it for their client to do, which is usually a question of like how much time it would take and then how many people will listen to it. Mm-hmm. And usually if it takes a lot of time, they don't want to do it unless a lot of people are going to listen to it, which is a reality that I understand. But also, we want to have cool conversations.
Yeah, we were just collecting. We were just, give us all your words.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's part of what makes this project a worthwhile thing to look back on as well. Even if we're not continuing it on a week-to-week basis. Yeah. It's like, oh, cool, a bucket of information that's really cool to just kind of sift through, you know?
Truly, I think we had a great podcast.
Heard it here.
People knew. There, those of you out there, those of you who are listening to this,
you knew. We're all in it.
Yeah, it was always scheduling that was the hardest part, and always like the thing that would be the barrier, which is unfortunate. In a perfect world, we would have just talked to whoever wanted to talk to us.
Mm-hmm. I will say I was the most stressed about not posting on time.
You were very stressed about that.
I was more stressed than literally anyone needs to be stressed about that. But also, and we've talked about this before, come from like a like YouTube-inspired background, which is all have a new video for you. Tuesday and Thursday, 5 p.m. PST. And then, like, when you don't do that, YouTube's like, no one sees your video.
Yeah.
And I felt like I could see it reflected in our numbers or whatever sometimes when I posted on the wrong day or late in the day or whatever. And there's a period of time where I blamed myself for numbers or whatever. But that's not how we should live our lives.
It wasn't you. See, here's the thing. I also thought I was also worried about that thing at the beginning. And then I quickly realized that if I cared about that, I was going to lose my mind. So I just like changed my frame of reference. And I was like, the podcast will come out when it comes out.
I needed to do
and then
the
I
same
got
thing.
Healthier.
Yeah, it's
like I cared about that for the first like 6 months of the podcast. Mm-hmm. I was like, we got to be on time. Mm-hmm. And I was like genuinely kind of annoyed when we didn't hit that. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, I can't care about this anymore. It's hurting me.
Yeah, for something that it is a reality of releasing internet content or whatever that you do better when you're punctual. Yeah. And when you're apologetic on social media for when you're not punctual and all that. But this podcast, and guaranteed a lot of podcasts you might listen to if you're a avid listener, they don't get paid for that. Like that is not their number one job. And if we're not going to be forgiving with ourselves about that, I don't know where my thought was going. We in particular had to forgive ourselves for that one, or like it did drive me crazy. I like, it did make me so anxious because I was like, I'm ruining it. But I truly don't think I ruined it.
You didn't.
Thanks.
You didn't ruin it. It wouldn't have happened without you.
I broke it.
Everything I touch gets ruined. You weren't the reason we didn't get 10,000 plus listeners, Hannah. There's a lot of other factors. Like, we don't have a celebrity friend.
We don't have a celebrity friend. We're not on a network. Yeah. We don't have apron money.
We didn't have money at the beginning. That's the thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways and reasons to hustle that we didn't do.
Also,
and we're good.
Going back to the, you just need a microphone. No, my friends. There's a lot of things that you would need to become a successful, in quotes, monetarily podcast.
Yeah, you do a lot of campaigning for yourself and a lot of selling your product.
Yeah.
Just like anyone else job does.
But it's all a job.
Yeah.
And you would need to pay someone to do that job.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
It's an institution like anything else. I'm glad that we sound this good. We sound great.
Yeah.
Can you hear that?
No, but
it sounds great.
I trust you. I trust you to make sure we sound good.
We sound good. Yeah, we talked a lot about good stuff. Let's wind down.
Great.
Let's cue wind down music. This is actually making me worse. Don't entertain me.
No, I'd like to. If not now, then when? I am the one who always has to keep the ship afloat during the interview.
Now
this is the one where it's not my job to do that. That's your job, Hannah. I'm not the host this time.
I love to podcast. So we're done.
Wait.
We're not actually done.
Okay.
We're done with the podcast.
Yeah, we're done with the podcast.
Feeling a little better about it now than I did at the beginning of the day.
Good. Can I ask you about that?
Sure.
Why are you feeling so bad about it?
I have no fucking idea. So, I've been really stuck. This is episode 99. Hi, welcome. I've been really stuck with it. Like, I go to work on it or go to think of ideas for it or whatever and get really frozen and stuck. And even, like, when we had the first, like, hey, I'm done with the podcast.
Conversation.
Me
sending a very long message.
Yeah. And, I mean, I had nothing, like, I had no sharp reaction to that. But, like, internally, I was like, oh, why does that feel weird? Uh-huh. But it's probably because it had become just, like, a routine in my life. And, like, sometimes I'll say now that now that I've graduated from college, I kind of go to bed every night with this, like, I didn't do my homework and it's due tomorrow. Like, I have like a weird hum, this underlying stress residual from a period of 4 years where I had to write papers for no reason. And the podcast would sometimes take that place for me. It's like, Hannah, you don't have homework anymore. Oh, but you do have to do the podcast for next week. And that was the thing I always had to be working on.
Yeah.
Never unhappy to do it. It just didn't always fit into my week or into my life. And even so, it became like a very reliable part of my day to day. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So like, I guess I'm just saying, like, while there's tension there, and I'm glad to move on to other things as much as anyone else is, something about having like that reliable, like, you got a job to do, you got work to do, this is like the thing you do right now. So I think it's just, yeah, it was just like me having the key to like pack that all up,
yeah,
lock it up, close the door, shop's closed, see ya. I didn't realize how much grappling with that I would have to do.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. But not so unfortunate. Like, I'm just learning stuff about myself. We're good.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, because when you were telling me about this before, I was thinking, like, oh, this is the thing that all the webcomic artists talk about. Which, to explain.
What do they talk about?
Every every like long running webcomic artist, like when they end their big project, they go through a period of like 3 months of mourning.
Yeah. There's mourning here for sure.
Yeah. And they don't, and like every single webcomic artist I followed who like this happens to them, they're like, I didn't think about how like this is a thing that I would have to experience. And I'm like, oh yeah, this is like a thing. Like ending a project is like a type of like grief you have to experience if you have like a long multi-year ongoing project, because like,
and I've never had one before. This is yeah. it. This yeah. is the one. So
because like you were new, like you were just saying, like you had this thing that you always had to do, mm-hmm. and so it's kind of like there's this person you have to be when you like do the podcast, mm-hmm. and now you just won't have that aspect of yourself anymore.
Yeah,
which is like a type of thing that you're gonna lose, which is like sad.
It is sad.
Even if like it's for the best, like we're all like happy we're making this decision, but
yeah, it's not. This is not a hostile thing at all. It's just like unexpected.
Yeah.
I think I was also just kind of always had in the back of my mind like ideas. All of my ideas were for the podcast mm-hmm. for a good chunk of time. We can try this. I can try this with the next episode. I can explore this or that, because I always have this thing that I get to be working on and that I kind of have some creative freedom on. Also was very like preoccupied with how do we make this, if we're going to keep doing this, how do we make this more worth it?
Mm-hmm.
Is Patreon a direction to go? Is what's the coffee one? Forgot.
Coffee.
It's just called coffee?
K-O-F-I.
Oh, you're right. I was, in my mind, I always read that like Ko-Fi because of the word lo-fi.
And Shugazi.
That's, that was very good. I have not even made that.
You haven't heard that?
I haven't heard that.
That's the shoegaze joke.
Shugazi. Yeah, and then just being like, we're not going to do those.
Yeah.
Ew, I'm sweaty. I hate it here.
You're sweaty and I'm covered in a blanket.
Yeah, you're nuts. You're out of this world.
I'm just cold. I'm not cold. I'm like actually kind of warm now, but I prefer.
You just prefer to be in a blanket.
I prefer to be in a blanket.
What was I talking about? Coffee. Oh yeah, we're just thinking of ways
to make
I was
this
always thinking
worth
of ways
it.
To keep building on it.
Yeah.
As if this would be my job someday. Not that I was like married to the idea. And yeah, it was just like, oh, all that is undercut. And I have like a weird thing about potential.
Mm-hmm.
That's why death scares me.
That's why I'm scared of death, Karina.
Yeah. Because something about
the things that could have been.
That could have been. Just, oh, I hate dwelling on that. But I am okay.
Doing great.
Better.
Great.
It's just a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing.
And it's okay. We're
it's
doing
a thing.
It.
For sure. It's a type of mourning, which is why I had my mourning, which is the final recording, because that was when I cried a lot. Yeah. What's it called when you have, what's the actual thing with mourning where it's like a party except it's mourning? Not a funeral. The other one. A wake. I had my wake.
Yeah. And I wasn't there. It was, or like I was there.
You were there.
I was there. I felt emotion, but not any. I could not feel that it was over.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's gonna hit me like that, and that's fine. Like I don't think I'm gonna be like I don't think I'm gonna cry over it. I think
good.
I'm just like,
I mean, I don't know,
gonna deal with the mourning thing. It's a moving forward is a positive thing. So yeah,
yeah,
it's weird. That's what I have to say about that.
Great.
It's weird, folks. If you want to, speaking of the future, what do you want to do now? Where's your life going?
I want to make a video game. I also want to figure out how to, like, be a small press publisher.
Hell yeah.
And it just seems like the question is, like, you have money. Who gives you the starting income? I need to talk to more people.
I have some people for you to talk to.
I look at Shortbox, which is a really great comics publisher that you should all look up. But like the Zynab, who is the creator and founder and runs that whole thing. Publisher, art director, mm-hmm. editor, does all of it. Mm-hmm. They're like 31. And I'm like, how? Where did, who? You needed money to do this.
You always need the money.
You needed like a starter amount of money to like get this going. And then after that, now it's like self-perpetuating because they've done like 6 boxes worth of these. And it's now like a thing that everyone in the comics community respects and knows about. And is like, this is a great high quality thing someone is doing. And you've made it at that point. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, to get to that point, how do you do the first one? How do you do the first 3?
So part of your journey is finding out.
I need to figure that out. And I figure that's just something that comes with time and talking to the right people and acquiring enough wealth over time.
Let's acquire some wealth.
So that you can just do that. I want to do that because I like curation and I want to make a video game also.
And those are the teamwork.
Because teamwork. And those are the 2 things I want to do.
Teamwork and curation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love that idea. I want to experiment more with podcasty things.
Great.
I don't have this is my idea for a show. I want to be weirder about it and we'll see what that means.
I also want to do weird podcasts, but like those can't be my long-term goals right now.
Oh no.
Because I just ended a podcast. So I can't be like, here's another podcast.
I don't have long-term, what I'm saying is I don't have long-term goals. I'm just like free to just try some stuff out with what I've learned.
Yeah.
Without any format at all.
Yeah.
I also want to work on music again.
Yeah.
Whew. I heard that in my guitars. It rang. But yeah, I want to work on music again. And videos again. I want to do all the things that I've always liked to do. Yes. Now that I feel more grounded.
Yes.
With myself.
I want the next Hannah Mraz album.
You can have it.
I say without any pretense.
This one's for you.
Yeah, I also want to iterate that the thing, like the future things I want to do were like learning that that's what I want to do was a big part of like what the podcast helped me learn.
Yeah, me too. Truly.
Yeah.
Just like working on a project long term and you're like, how do I like to work? How do I like to incorporate this into my life? What are the ways I don't like to incorporate this into my life?
Yes.
And meeting people.
How am I going to meet new people now?
I don't know. When they're not forced to talk to you for content.
Yeah, what am I going to do?
Oh, is this being recorded? No? We don't need to do this.
Hit me up if you want to hang out, friends.
It's the only way to get a hold of her.
Yeah.
You know, like, you calling her.
This whole podcast was me learning that I like collaborative works and I like picking the things that I want to like talk about and work on, because I'm pretty good at that, I would say.
Yeah,
I have good taste.
You have good taste.
I do. Like, I'm gonna be like that person who actually says nice things about themselves for one moment.
Yeah.
Instead of like being the person who likes like, I no, that's not no. Like, actually,
we don't need to stay home.
I do have good taste.
You do have good taste.
So many people have bad taste. It's
very true.
So many people like things that are, like, only okay.
They're just fine.
They're fine, which is fine. But there's so many really great and incredible things.
Yeah.
And I want to, like, make more of those and help people make more of those.
We should high five. Wait, it has to be really good. Yeah! we've kind of run out of time for how much stuff I want to deal with.
Okay. the first time, the editor's like, you know, this is enough audio. This is too much audio.
I want to do... We were talking about favorite questions earlier. And I realized this time that I don't like them either. Like, I don't want to frame this little moment as a, like, what was your favorite episode? Because, like, the work means so much more to us than which one was the best and burn the rest.
Ooh, it rhymes.
Thank you. I'm rhyming a lot today. It's very weird. I think I'm cursed. Someone save me.
That'd be a good curse. You can only rhyme.
You can only rhyme. Yeah. You're a leprechaun.
Yeah.
Or a gremlin or a troll under a bridge. but I do want to talk about memorable. So memorable. Like a lightning round is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Long form saying. Most memorable music performance to happen in front of you.
Yeah, man. There are so many.
Because we all listened to it and it was like, wow. But like Karina is like sat among all of them.
Amongst them. And sometimes because of that, I wouldn't hear their audio or their vocals.
Yeah.
Which is always a funny thing that would happen to me. Memorable ones? Ubiquitous Love Tribe was like crazy to see live in front of me. Just right. For me.
They walked around.
They walked around.
They didn't stay in front of their mics.
Not at all. It was cool, though.
It was very cool.
Bad Cop, because they like were just excellent at their craft. Like, would lock into their vocal harmonies with a 1, 2, 3, and then they were in it immediately, and it was crazy.
Yeah.
Just very impressive work.
Louis Zong played a piano with his feet.
Louis played a piano with his feet.
I wasn't there for that. That can't be like, I saw that happen, but I saw that happen in pictures.
There was a photo.
Bizonkers.
Pretty crazy. Yeah, man. There were so many times. Because, like, for me, most often, this would be the first time I would see the band play. Because, like, I would have heard their recordings. And then oftentimes I would be like, hey, now play a song for me. And then that would be the first time I would see them live. And that was always just, like, an exciting thing to happen for me. Because it would be just for me. And so often it would just be, like, me just seeing their skills on display in front of me.
Yeah.
And it was very good.
Yeah. We mentioned this earlier, but like, what is the most revealing conversation?
I thought of a third one.
What is it?
Roar.
Huh.
Which was like, that was because that was a band that I liked already.
Yeah.
And it was like, wow, they're here. Wow, they're here. And this is a band that I liked when I was in high school.
Right.
That's weird.
Yeah. That is weird.
Yeah.
That happened to me a couple times on this podcast.
Yeah, which ones?
Julia Nunes and Molly Lewis.
Yeah.
Both high school faves of mine here in the living room.
Was there anyone, for you, I'm interviewing you now.
This is
like,
not how lightning works.
This is not. Was there anyone that, like, of course there were, but any that stand out that you heard them, you hadn't heard of them before, and then they kind of, like, blew you away?
Negro Galacticus.
Yeah.
Just 100% all the way. Still one of my favorite bands out of the LA area. Just the best.
Yeah.
Of the best. Knew it when they played the episode. Knew it when they played our 50th episode party. Just like, yeah, that was
it. It's true. They're
Everyone
so
knows.
Good.
Everybody knows.
Yeah, they blew me away too.
Most revealing conversation. Memorable conversation.
Memorable conversations.
Where did you learn the most?
Let's
keep it to one.
No, I have three.
I love it.
John Rossiter from Young Jesus, still my favorite podcast episode.
Yeah.
2+ hours. And that's just because he took me through his whole history of like how he became a musician, how his worldview changed.
Yeah.
I think we talked about God. I think we talked about specific old relationships. It was just like all the stuff that I was like.
That you look for.
That I look for. And that was also because like he reached out to me.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's great.
He was the one who messaged us on Facebook. Was like, hey, can I do this? And I was like, looks them up first. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes. You will allow it.
That one, Sunny War, because like we talked about the drug shows they went to.
Because we talked a lot about ayahuasca.
We talked about their... how they would play shows at like ayahuasca meetings?
Happenings? Listen, we don't know anything.
I don't do ayahuasca, so I don't really know. But like when you have the ceremonies. That's the word I'm looking for. They would do shows at the ayahuasca ceremonies, but also having done ayahuasca themselves at the ceremony, a crazy episode. Listen to it.
It is one of the... I learned so much.
I learned a lot. And
also their music is... fucking incredible.
They're also like a music one where I was like, the way you play the guitar is insanity.
Dang.
Yeah. Sunny War, real good episode. Mm-hmm. I remember hearing them talking about ayahuasca and being like, oh, we're getting into it.
We're doing it.
I think I remember Jeremy saying that like I think you were, okay, yeah, you were there in the yeah. room also, like how you all looked at each other.
Well, we all looked, we were like, you, we're here as listeners.
A real interview.
It was great.
And then Rhiannon, I really liked a lot too.
Yeah, learned a lot.
That's also because Rhiannon's a very smart person.
Extremely smart person.
And that's, and I think it's also because like she had the benefit of being someone who knew how to talk about their art.
Yeah.
So they came prepared.
Yeah.
But that's also a great conversation about how to write and what to write about and how to work. Yeah, good stuff.
Mine were Jeff Liu, Chase Petra, and Louis Zong, and Jacoty
Dimont.
I love the Jacoty episode.
Yeah. I don't have, like, much to say about them, except for those are the episodes that, like, ground me the most in my own artistic struggles.
Yeah.
And even if I don't remember specifically what they said, I do want to go, I still need to go back and listen to them and remember, like, what they said. There's just a, there's a pin in each one of those, because when I was listening to them, I was like, yeah, 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 yeah.
I loved the Jacoty episode. He was really great to talk to in an interview.
Yeah.
And I remember being really pleased with that one. Like, I remember that one was, like, maybe, like, the sixth episode we recorded. It was early. It was mm-hmm. really early. And that was one of the ones where I was like, this is the feeling.
Yeah.
This is the feeling I'm trying to capture.
It really, like, comes through in the episode as well.
Yeah, so that was one of the ones, like, throughout the life of this podcast, it would be in the list, the short list of podcasts that I would send to people. To
yeah,
be like,
me too.
Here's a flavor of what we're about.
Because
mm-hmm. it was also not a huge long one, too. Like, I would never send, here's the thing about the Young Jesus episode is that
it's not a starter.
Really great. You can't just send that to someone.
Yeah.
You can't be just like, here's...
Hey, listen to this.
Here's 2 hours.
They get into it.
Get into it. Yeah, that's all. That's all I can think of.
And we have a final, which is most memorable day of recording.
Ugh. I don't know.
Jeff Liu.
Jeff Liu, you're right. You said this last time.
Yeah. It was Jeff Liu.
It was Jeff.
It was because we made
a friend.
A wonderful day that day.
It was a we made a friend episode.
It was so delightful. Like, afterward, we went and got burritos.
Yeah.
And then we came back, and Jeff just hung out with us while Jeremy and I played video games
yeah.
a little bit. And then Jeremy and Jeff played piano
together.
And it was the most endearing sight.
Yeah.
It was a very good day.
A really good day.
And you know it's real. Like, we dragged Jeff with us to Seattle to
Jeff
play a show.
Jeff came to Seattle with us. I need to hang out with him again. It's been a while.
We all do. Hi, Jeff.
Hey,
thanks.
Jeff. You're probably not listening to this episode, but you know what? Thanks.
And thank you to all of you.
Thanks.
You've
for
made
all
it
of
to
you.
The end. Next
Almost.
Time.
Yeah. Next time.
That's all I got.
Great. I think you hear that?
She threw the questions away.
Yeah.
I don't have any parting words in this moment. I'll probably write them in an outro or something. But thank you, Karina.
No problem.
For a beautiful 2, almost 3-ish years of the pod.
I'd say it's 3 years now.
It is 3 years now. Because I keep delaying this episode.
It was 3 years in August, so it wasn't because of you.
Wow. Thank you for 3 years of a wonderful project that made us all better people.
Yeah.
And will send us on our ways
next week
in our great lives.
Or whenever the next one comes out.
Next week,
next
hear
week,
the party.
Hear the party and Karina crying.
We'll see you there.
I love it. I love
party
being,
cries.
I love being genuine on mic.
Me too. Good night.
Bye.
We did it. Hooray!
Thank you for listening to The Living Room. This week, our guest was ourselves, and you can find us here, of course, but check out Karina Taylor at She Calls Me Sea Dog on Twitter, and me, Hannah, at Miraz Hannah on Twitter. Hope to see you there. If you want to chat with us somewhere on the internet, you can find us on Twitter at The Living Room PC. or you can email us at thelivingroompodcast@gmail.com. The Living Room was created by Lucas Caffey and Karina Taylor, recorded by Matt Sturgis and Jeremy Scott at the Palisades, and produced by me, Hannah Mraz. Special thanks goes to everyone who's ever lended a hand to our project, the Palisades residents for dealing with our noise, and of course, thank you for listening.
There he is.
I wanted to point out that Mike got here about 15 minutes ago. I'm very sorry about that. Okay. When I texted him, like, hey, we're finishing up the recording, you can come in or whatever.
Yeah.
He just said, I've made myself at home. And I don't think you were making a Living Room podcast joke.
Oh, no.
No, he just said it, and the world gifted us with that.
Thanks for giving us that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Hannah made some content out of that.
Okay.